Welcome to French Kissing Life. I'm your host, Shauna Stiver, and I am thrilled to help you discover what makes your heart race, your soul dance, and your spirit soar. Every week, you'll get a fun dose of inspiration, laughter, and a sprinkle of magic as we explore stories, insights, and conversations that empower you to ignite the spark within. In a world that demands you be anything but yourself, this is your permission slip to be a little more you. Together, let's shed the shoulds, embrace our unique brilliance, and welcome more joy. Are you ready to French kiss life? Welcome back to another episode of French Kissing Life. I am your host, Shauna Stiver, and I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say today's guest is going to surprise you. It's my belief that we can learn something from literally anyone, and I hope that this week's episode drives that point home even further. A couple of times this year, I've had the pleasure of judging two different high school speech competitions, and when I say I've been impressed, holy cow, I was just so struck by the bravery and courage and confidence that I witnessed with today's young people. It just blew me away. The topics these students were touching on, like mental health, equality, vulnerability, etc., it was just unbelievably refreshing to see their willingness to go there. And it just makes me so excited to see these young leaders and what they bring to the table. So continuing in that vein, I had the absolute pleasure of sitting down with Laura Stowater for this week's episode. So Laura is in her final year of college pursuing an undergrad in chemical engineering. Along with getting her MBA, she is a little go-getter and we love her for it. After graduation, she is going to be a manufacturing and engineering associate with General Mills. So I have some cereal boxes heading my way in the future, which I'm super excited about. She is also a Pilates and bar instructor, novice runner, baker, and reader. She has a passion for so many things, including travel and adventure. And her most recent adventures have taken her to the Grand Canyon, where she hiked rim to river. The last time I saw Laura was actually 10 years ago when I was handing her a giant paper check. I wish somebody someday would hand me a giant paper check. But at the time, she was the winner of the Money Smart Kid contest, which was sponsored by the organization that I worked for at the time. And I handed her the check. I said, congratulations. Did not see her ever again. We got reconnected recently thanks to our mutual friend, Matt Brown, who is a big fan of the show. And he told me that I had to have Laura on the show. Here's the thing. I was absolutely blown away by this young woman. Laura is such an incredible person that I had to stop and remind myself several times that she is just 23 years old. She's wise beyond her years, and I just thoroughly enjoyed catching up with her. So we talk about the pressures that young people face, especially those who identify with perfectionism. Hi, that's me. The distinct shift between knowing everything in high school to knowing absolutely nothing in college in the real world. The easiest way to break down really big goals into small, achievable steps, and her secret for doing hard things. It's safe to say that by the end of the recording, I was Laura's biggest fan, and I can't wait for all of you to experience her wisdom. So please enjoy my enlightening and joyful conversation with Laura Stowater. Hey, Laura, it's so good to see you again.
Good to see you as well.
How long has it been? What year did you win the Money Smart Kid contest?
I can't believe, but it's already been 10 years, which kind of seems a little bit wild.
It does. Okay, so just a little backstory. I met you when I was working at the Iowa Bankers Association, and we awarded this. Was it a scholarship or was it just like a cash prize?
Yeah, it was a CD scholarship, so certificate of deposit. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So it was the Money Smart Kid essay contest and you won it. And full circle moment, years go by and Matt Brown, I reconnected with him. I think I've been connected with him on LinkedIn now for a little bit. But he sent me pictures like saying that he had worked with you. So he leaves his area and goes to be like an advisor for Iowa State. And full circle moment, he's, you should have Laura on your podcast. I'm like, that would be fantastic. It's so good to catch up and see where you went after that.
Yeah, it was definitely a wild surprise seeing him at Iowa State after seeing him in middle school being like, are you the same person? And I'm like, I am. Like, what are the odds in this like crazy world that that would happen?
Yes. And he has been so fantastic in just like loving the podcast. He sends me the kindest notes and is just like our number one fan, I think, which is amazing because I think it's safe to say that my audience is predominantly female. And so to have someone like him be a fan is just the best of both worlds, really.
I definitely say the advocacy and kindness he displays towards your podcast is the absolute same level he has towards like his students. He so deeply cares about the work. So it's great to have people like that in your corner, and especially to have good networks like that to bring it full circle to today.
I know. Okay. So catch me up. We last saw each other 10 years ago. We don't even really know each other super well. We just got connected because of our roles at the time. So tell me where you went beyond that, because you are a little go-getter. And I love that because I was the same way growing up. So I'd love to know your story and where you're at now and how those 10 years went for you.
Yeah, I know. I guess like beyond the handshake and thank you for the award that day, like really no connection since. So graduate high school from like a rural school in North Central Iowa, go to Iowa State University. That's where I'm at. I'm in my fifth year. So I'm a concurrent MBA student along with my undergrad in chemical engineering. And so about to graduate, have a role lined up as an engineer working for General Mills after graduation. So excited to be a serial engineer. That'll be a very exciting. But yeah, that's what I've been up to since then.
So have you always been just this driven, ambitious little person that just continued down that vein your whole entire life? Or did you think like this is the natural trajectory for me? Or tell me more about like how you were as a kid.
I definitely think my dad is like a huge role in that. He's a very ambitious, tenacious person. And I definitely very much got that from him. Growing up in rural Iowa, we also have like livestock. So definitely that hardworking like agriculture mindset has also been a big part of my life. Mm. But definitely, I always wanted to succeed. And like, as I've gotten older, it went from wanting to achieve to maybe more falling in love with the process, falling in love with the problem, and doing things for like the exercises. But definitely anything when I was younger, whether it was piano or 4-H or science fair or swimming, if I had a goal, man, I was going to move heaven and earth to make that happen. And I still think I am to this day, but maybe the shift for the rationale has changed.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to come back to that. But did you always want to be an engineer? Was that sort of when you were a kid, you're like, I want to be an engineer when I grow up?
Ironically, no. I have to say I was an extremely practical child. Like I said, raised in a very practical family. I never went through the, I want to be a princess when I grow up, or I want to be whatever when a fairy princess when I grow up. No. My first thing I can remember was I wanted to be a doctor, specifically a pediatrician. Then I wanted to be a dermatologist. Then I wanted to be a lawyer, just like my dad. I went through a phase of wanting to be a dietitian. So all like extremely like practical things. And then I got really into competitive science fair. I did some international science fairs when I got older, and I really fell in love with science and STEM, and really that melding of like science and math led me to engineering. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love what that illustrates, because there is this notion that when you turn 18, you should just know exactly what you want to do for the next 50 years of your life. And that does happen for some people. But I think there's a larger segment where you don't have any idea what you want to do at 18. And really, why would you? You're 18, like you're just a baby. You're just, you know, scratching the surface of what it means to be an adult. So I think it's crazy to put so much pressure on young people to have that figured out when, as you so eloquently stated, for you, it was a process of thinking through these different things and trying on, even if you didn't pursue any of it in a real tangible way, was trying on what actually do I enjoy doing? what seems to fit with me. And I think that if you approach it from that standpoint, you just really can't go wrong.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And to your point, I still think you can go down the path that you're like, oh, I think this is the right choice for me, and maybe still question it. And it might end up being the right choice, like in the long run, but it's okay if you had doubts. Like I 100% had doubts along the way. Not only is this the right choice for me, is this something I'll enjoy, but also do I have the capacity, the capability, like to actually handle it? And so that was something I grappled with for definitely a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wanted to be many things, but I definitely felt that words were something that I saw in my future. And I did stray here and there from that. But I think that life really is about what you learn in all of those little stops along the way. And it sounds like for you, just transitioning to college, you talked a little bit about mindset, but just managing the expectations there where like, you have always been that person that has had everything together. You go from point A to point B. Now you get into this college world. And I think then it's like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Did you have that feeling when you first got there?
Oh, many times. I think I can, one distinct time I remember going from a class of 99. Now I'm sitting in a huge lecture hall with 250 plus people. And it was one of the first days. And I'm just getting ready before class starts and listening to some conversations near me, hopefully not eavesdropping too much. Two people were talking about, oh, I took this AP class and that AP class, and I have this XYZ accomplishment. And I was like, oh, we're no longer a big fish in a small pond. Like, this is the real rodeo here. We're doing the things. And then also another moment was I was in a really hard class. It was my first semester and I was just busting my butt. This was all new concepts, like applying math in ways I'd really never thought of before. And just, I take my first exam and it was brutal. It was just really hard. I prepared for it though. And I get the exam score back. And I was like a little taken aback because I had just been used to, like in high school, things just ticking along at a pretty steady clip, mm-hmm. like not having to work too terribly hard, just things flowed for me. Like I hadn't ever had to practice failure before or practice maybe not getting what I maybe initially expected. And so that was a really jarring experience. And I think if you ask my parents, they, especially my sweet mom, she definitely fielded a few teary phone calls those first 2 years of, I don't think I can do this. And they had to talk me down a little bit and be like, no, you are capable. And I think the thing was, I was in this class and I was like, how am I in 4 years expected to design an entire chemical facility in the senior design class or do all of these like crazy hard things as I perceived it? And I think I was trying to take on the whole world as a freshman. And I couldn't comprehend it at the time. And with a little bit of experience, a little bit of like wisdom and age under my belt, I say age as in 4 years of college, but just that incremental gains, I realized that it's just, I need to accomplish this one class. And if I can't think of it on that scale, I just need to accomplish this one test or this one assignment. And then all of those things will build onto it. Like it would be ridiculous if someone else came up to me and be as a freshman and was like, can you design this entire facility? Oh, no one would expect that. So I think it was a little bit of a mindset shift. I had to give myself a little bit of grace to understand you don't have to have it all figured out day one. And maybe nor should you, because if you're coming to college and only doing the things that you're like super capable right out the gate of doing, then maybe you're not in the right area. Like it's all about growth.
Yeah. Where do you think that pressure came from for you as it relates to going into it thinking, I've got to do this, and if I don't do it perfectly, like it's just not going to work or whatever. Where do you think that pressure came from for you?
I've talked to a couple of my other like high achieving friends, like people who like mm-hmm. everything came very easily to them. And I think it's just, you've never had to experience like failure or like maybe just what you weren't expecting to happen. And so I think it was just like a really jarring experience. And then also I think that if you've never had to experience failure before, or you're just so used to it. And I also think there's a lot of pressure maybe put on people who are like perfectionists. Like I definitely am one of those mm-hmm. people who like has always been like, it's all or nothing. You're getting A's or it's not worth doing. And so that was definitely something like I had to grapple with, and I had to definitely manage that expectation quite a bit, while also like realizing that your identity, like who you are and your intrinsic value, cannot be tied up in what you can accomplish. Someone once told me, you are more than what you can accomplish. And that was just like mind blowing to me. So I think like really like understanding that like you are more than what you can do. Those were some big learnings out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I have to tell you that what you just described, not having your identity be whatever it is, the external thing that you're seeking, shifting your mindset to chunking things down, realizing that the pressure maybe was self-inflicted at times. I didn't figure out some of those lessons until I was in my 30s. And so the fact that you're already picking up on some of those things at your 23, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is going to serve you so well, because there really truly is so much wisdom in all of what you just said. And so the fact that you're hitting on some of those things now is incredible.
Oh, thank you so much. But I have to say, that was like hard won wisdom. That took a lot of like self-reflection, as I'm sure you can like personally attest to. Like, it's never fun to realize, I'm tying up a lot of my identity and like what I can do. And that's, it becomes like a very unsustainable, very quick. It's no different than like when an athlete gets injured and they're like, who am I outside of my sport?
Yeah. Yeah. How did you figure out some of that stuff?
I had to sit with it a little bit. Like I kept having situations where I'm like, I'm trying and it's not working. Mm-hmm. And I feel horrible about it. But then if you look, I tried to look at it very objectively and be like, what I'm doing isn't bad. I'm not failing classes. I'm not like doing bad. I'm getting interviews. I'm like for jobs and internships. And so I had to just like take a step back and be like, if my friend came to me with this situation, like how would I talk to them? And a friend of mine once said, talk to yourself like you'd talk to a friend. And so I tried to emulate that situation of like, if someone came to me and they were just absolutely ragging on themselves for maybe getting this grade when they thought they should have gotten that grade, or whatever the circumstance was. And then I just dug into that. Like, why did I feel that it's so important that I got that grade? And why is my identity like so tied up? And I think also as a society, we praise people for doing things really well at the beginning. If you can get things like really quick, oh man, they're so smart. Like they're so capable. But maybe I think there's a lot of value in the struggle of it. Oh man, maybe I didn't get it immediately, but I got it eventually. And we both got to the same point, but maybe it didn't take the same timeline. But I have to say, like all the times when I have struggled a little bit or maybe encountered challenges, all the things I vehemently tried to avoid, that's when I got the really good value of it. I'm like, man, if I didn't encounter this struggle, I wouldn't have learned this lesson. And I'm like, not going to endorse struggle by any means or glamorize it, because it is not fun. It is not fun being in on the weekends, like grinding through homework or like studying for an exam. Like that's not glamorous in any means. But I think it's like looking at it in the long run, being like, I'm going to set aside a few like hours when I'd rather be doing something else to really focus. And I think that's when I've learned there's a lot of value there.
Yeah. There's two things that I want to say about all of what you just said. One, I think that school in general sets us up for that expectation that like you get good grades. And if you get good grades, you get into the good schools. And I think there's less of the, hey, let's just try something out and see what happens with it. There's no expectation of whether this goes good or this goes bad, but that all you're doing is just looking for information. You're looking for clues. You're looking for feelings. And I don't think that they really, I guess, welcome that or encourage that. There's some teachers that do. And when you find those teachers, I have so many in my like life that have taught me that and welcomed that. But I think that that's part of it. And the other thing that I wanted to say was your generation, and I don't like to really use labels at all, because I think that just diminishes who the person is. But I was fortunate to judge some speech competitions like a few weeks ago. And the topics that those kids and those students were talking about were so courageous and so, I think, just wise beyond their years. And I just was so struck by your generation is just this group of extremely well-rounded, mature, courageous people. And it just makes me feel so encouraged to see like where everything is going, if those are the kinds of kids that are coming out of your generation.
Thank you so much for those kind words. I obviously can't speak on behalf of my whole generation, but I definitely think that there's like a lot of people our age are really focused on like having compassion and like being vulnerable and being courageous. Cause I learned a lot about like how like vulnerability and like leadership and like how you have like interpersonal relationships, like really just like strengthens teams. I learned that in one of my management classes, and it's really transformed like how I approach not only like working in professional settings, but just any kind of interpersonal relationships, trying to have more vulnerability. Cause I think like the connections and breakthroughs you have with people is just so much richer.
Yes, for sure. So I want to circle back on, you mentioned this idea of loving the process versus loving the outcome. And we've touched a little bit on this idea of taking a really big goal and chunking it down into pieces. How did you develop that? How did you learn more about that? And I'd love to know, you know, just your general thoughts on that as like a mindset shift.
Yeah, I think I had to do it. I realized what I needed to do, that I can't take on the whole world as a freshman, because that wasn't just sustainable. I had to just look at the next little milestone. I had to realize that freshman or sophomore year of college, but I didn't think I articulated it until I had like a mentor at one of my internships. And I had faced like a really big engineering, a moderately big engineering problem. And I just didn't really know how to deal with it. And he's fall in love with the process and fall in love with the problem. And that like idea really stuck with me. And I think that's when I realized that's the only way you really can handle big problems, because otherwise it just seems so insurmountable. And if it's easy to get lost in it and just feel like you're not making any gains. So if your goal is to run like a marathon and you can only run 4 miles today, when you're looking on the scale of that 26, that seems negligible. But if you're like, my goal for this, like this week, is I need to get up to 14 miles, and that breaks down into 3 mile days or whatever that number is, then that's like a lot more accomplishable, and it feels good to accomplish things. So it's like creating those small wins often that like helps drive those big goals, because everyone likes those like little dopamine hits of winning. Oh, I was able to accomplish this small thing. And I definitely think it's way, way more well articulated in the book Atomic Habits. I'm literally obsessed with the book. It's very commonly, very popular. But I just think chunking that down into smaller pieces, and also to your point earlier about the education system, maybe like not always supporting just trying things, maybe not being just paralyzed by fear of failure to just try things. So if you look at things on that smaller scale, oh, if I just fail, don't accomplish the small goal, it's not putting me in jeopardy of that entirely large goal. So just having things in those smaller bits, you're less averse to taking risks, which I think is where the big wins are. Because if you're willing to try something and it's just a small thing, the risk, the downside is low. Oh, I'm going to miss out on the small goal, but the upside, in my opinion, could be really high, which will fuel those future progressions, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I say often that I believe life is learned in the nuance. It's learned in the gray. It's not learned in the black and white, cut and dried. You could argue that maybe there are things that are, but my point is what you just said. It's what you're learning along the way. It's what you're learning and taking away from that experience or that lesson. It's not so much on, okay, I achieved this thing and let me check that off on a box or award myself this prize, but what did I learn about myself? What do I now know that I didn't know before? And how can that shape whatever it is that I'm going to achieve next?
And I also think to that point, the things you remember aren't that, oh, I got this score on this exam, or I was able to implement XYZ worth of like improvements. It was, oh, I learned how to work on a challenging team, or I learned how to be a more empathetic leader, or it was all of those kind of maybe softer skills that you learned along the way, because what are the odds mm-hmm. that you're going to have to take that exact same exam again or implement this exact same project again? Pretty low. But the odds yeah. of you needing to be an empathetic leader, the odds of you needing to work on a challenging team, pretty high. So that's where the value is in loving the process and really being mindful and reflective in the process, as opposed to just, I'm going to race like heck to get to the end goal. And then I can check it off the box and move on to the next thing to check it off the box.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the other part too, is don't underestimate all of those small wins or the little progress, because I think that it all adds up. And so make sure that you're counting the progress in whatever unit or way makes sense to you, because once you look back, you'll see that all of those little things were adding up to the big thing.
Absolutely. You just summarized a big chunk of Atomic Habits right there.
Yes. Okay. So what's next for you? Are you a senior this year?
Yeah, I'm finishing up grad school this year. So in May, I'll walk across the stage twice, get my undergrad degree and my MBA. Up next.
Oh my gosh.
I've interned at General Mills once before. And so I'll be returning there again.
What are you going to be doing for General Mills?
I'll be a manufacturing and engineering associate. Likely I'll be working on one of the cereal lines. So that will be involving doing loss reduction strategies and helping improve the process. So I'll be doing like boots on the ground engineering. So I'll be in the plant. I'm very excited about that. It's a really fun, fast-paced environment to be in. And I think like the more of a fast-paced environment is, the more you're like quick to learn, quick to soak up information. And plus, I'll be making Cheerios. So who doesn't want to be a Cheerios engineer? That's way fun.
If you can get yourself on some boxes of Lucky Charms to send my way, I will give you my address after we're done.
Shauna, I can definitely make that happen. The Lucky yes. Charms, the Cinnamon Toast Crunch, all the good things.
Yes. First perk of having a podcast, cereal boxes.
Exactly.
Okay, so if you could sum up everything that you've learned in this particular phase of your life, or if there's one defining sort of thing that you've learned that you think is going to take you into the next phase, what would you say is one of those things?
You can do hard things, but don't forget to give yourself grace.
Yes, yes, that's so good. Hard things, I think, it, no matter what, we're all going to experience that, because that's just what it means to be a human being. But your relationship to that, how you react to that, what meaning you assign to that, I think is what helps you define what that thing is to you.
I think that perspective, like you got at in that point, how you view your relationship to hard things makes all the difference.
Yeah. And if there's somebody that is approaching deciding what they want to do with their life, maybe not totally sure, what advice would you give them to feel through that process?
I would say just start somewhere and be okay with maybe changing, because I think it's a lot easier to pivot from somewhere than from like a place of ambiguity. Maybe this is a hot take, but I would say maybe as opposed to picking undecided, pick something that you feel like maybe 80 or 70% the way good on, and then just feel it out. Because what's the worst thing that you're going to, what that's going to happen? You realize, I'm not in love with it. You can change. Everything in life is subject to change. So I'd say that's a good starting place.
Yeah, I think so too. And just don't go into it with any expectations of what you're going to get out of it. Just be open to the process, be open to what it can teach you, and look for those cues of the things that light you up, that you think are enjoyable, that you want to do more of. I think that if you approach it with that kind of mindset, you're on your way. Okay, now it's time for a game of trivia. I am chuckling because we just recently got game show music added to the podcast, and it is a cheese factor of 11 out of 10. So I'm just dying over it.
I'm here for the Wisconsin cheese. Bring it on.
Yes. Okay, so even though I don't love to assign any labels to people. We are going to do trivia questions based on the different generations. And I'm throwing a little curveball into this in that I'm going to ask you a question and you not only have to answer the question, but then you also have to tell me which group, which generation group it came from. So your choices will be boomers, Gen Z, millennials, and Gen X. Are you ready?
Oh, heck yeah.
Okay. You did tell me that you were a trivia master, so I am expecting you to do very well on this.
I don't know if I would say master, but I've spent a few rounds of trivia with the team. Heck yeah.
Okay. Maybe this game will push you into the master category. We'll see. The first question is, kids of the 50s loved this brand on a scale model construction trucks. What brand had model construction trucks that kids of the 50s enjoyed?
Oh man, you have me stumped there.
Tonka trucks.
Oh, I should have known. Okay, fair enough.
Can you guess which generation that question would have come from?
Oh, the boomers.
Yes, boomers is correct. Okay, the next question is, this slang word expresses excitement, approval, or surprise, often when doing a dance move or throwing something.
Is it like yeet? Oh, yeah. I feel like this is very Gen Z, so it'd be very bad if I didn't get that.
It is Gen Z. Okay, the next one is, what best-selling boy band of all time sang the hit single I Want It That Way?
Okay, it's either NSYNC or Backstreet Boys. Let me think on this. I feel like it's Justin Timberlake, so I might go with NSYNC.
It's Backstreet Boys. Maybe I was wrong.
Oh, man. Yeah, I had a 50-50 shot. I know. Is Justin Timberlake at least on NSYNC?
He is, yes. Yes,
okay.
He is.
Okay.
What generation would that question have come from?
Oh, Shauna, that's very millennial.
Oh, God. I was going to say, I feel like millennials and Gen X are sometimes, you can't tell. Maybe it's because I think I'm on the verge of the two of them. So I always am like, it could be this, it could be that. Okay, the next question is, what U.S. president is an avid saxophone player?
I don't know if I can, I could take a guess.
He might have also had a scandal with an intern in the White House.
Okay, actually, that was going to be my guess. So I'll take Bill Clinton for that one.
Bill Clinton is correct. You know I had to throw in a saxophone reference. Accomplished saxophone player over here. What generation is that from? What's your guess there?
I'm going to take Gen X on that one.
Good guess. Yes, that is correct. Okay, this next one, I got to admit, is a little bit hard. We'll see if you get it. Which satirical humor magazine was first published in 1952? The hint, the title is a mood.
It's Mad, isn't it?
It is Mad. Good job. I figured that one would be really hard. Okay, which generation is that one from?
Oh, that's very boomer.
Yes, very boomer. Go boomer. Okay, you should probably get this next one right. This Swedish environmental activist became the youngest person to be named Time's Person of the Year in 2019.
Greta Thunberg?
It is. I don't know how you pronounce her last name. Is it Thunberg? Thunberg? Something like that. But yes, that is correct. Which generation is that from?
She's also Gen Z.
Correct. She is Gen Z. Okay, our last question is, in 1988, this new format for listening to music outsold vinyl for the first time.
It's like cassettes? Is it like those like Walkman cassettes? It's cassettes.
You are close. It is compact discs or CDs.
Oh.
Close.
Thank you for saying no, it's close. Oof. I appreciate the support.
Which generation would that have been from? What's your guess there?
1988. I feel like that's the verge. Maybe Gen X.
It is Gen X. Yes, correct. I feel like you did a pretty good job. You almost got the Backstreet Boys one. So good job with those.
Thank you. I feel like maybe, I don't know if I've reached the master level of trivia, but we're definitely in love with the process. So following that progress along.
You are on your way. I would say you're right there. You're maybe a couple more of your trivia nights will push you over the edge.
Awesome.
Okay, so we always end the podcast with a round of rapid fire questions. So let's get to it. If you owned a boat, what would you name it?
Ooh, I'm a big fan of the book, The Great Gatsby. So probably Gatsby or Daisy.
Care to elaborate on why Daisy?
Isn't like the historical convention of boat naming female names? So probably Daisy.
Do you like daisies as a flower?
Yeah, they're like probably one of my favorite flowers. So yeah, they're really pretty.
All right. I'll take it. We talked about this already, but what did you want to be when you grew up?
Yeah, the progression kind of went from doctor to dietitian to lawyer to, at one point I was like, maybe I should be an accountant. And my dad's, I don't think you'd find as much love as like you'd think you'd maybe find in that. So maybe try one of the STEM fields, maybe consider that a go. And so I went to a STEM camp at Iowa State. We looked at all the different disciplines of engineering, and chemi was the one that I fell in love with. So here I am as a chemical engineer.
That's so funny. So I just interviewed somebody this week for a project that I'm working on, and she is a nurse now. And when I asked her what she initially wanted to study, she goes, "Don't laugh." And of course I'm like, now I'm going to laugh. She said, "I wanted to be an EMT and an accountant," which is not at all related. And I said, "So what made you decide that you didn't want to be an accountant?" And she said that when she went to like her school's welcome program, she was immediately like, "Yeah, this isn't for me," because she felt like that wasn't the way that she wanted to help people. She wanted to help people in another way. And so it was like, yeah, no, I don't see myself being like chained to a desk for the rest of my life.
I would definitely say, after having taken, granted, only one accounting class, like preparing pro forma documents and like making little cash flow tables, maybe not the most fun and entertaining. That, granted, maybe not everyone would think chemical engineering is that fun and entertaining, but to each their own. We have to have chemical engineers and we have to have accountants and EMTs. We have to have them all.
Yeah, I know. Accountants get such a bad rap. I was lucky because I escaped college without having to take accounting. Apparently my major, you were supposed to, and then I didn't. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to count that as a win. And I probably really should have taken it because math is not my strong suit, even though I was in advanced math classes in high school. And I went to this like competition one time, and I was not the first student that they wanted to go. I was like the stand-in because the smarter kid couldn't go. And I'll never forget, because we walked into the gym and there was a sign that said, "Welcome mathletes." I was like, I cannot. I'm going to use this term for the rest of my life, hands down.
I don't even think the people who are deep in the math game, as someone who's deep in the science fair game, would want to be called a mathlete. Maybe I'm wrong. People can correct me. But I just think it's not very glamorous. I feel like it's just the grounds for people to be made fun of. And that's just not what the math people need. They don't need that.
I know. Oh my God. Mathletes. So good. Okay. So what's a book that you would recommend to everyone? You mentioned Atomic Habits. What else would you recommend?
Oh, I'm a voracious reader. So honestly, we could have spent a whole podcast talking about books. The one I just really enjoyed was The Psychology of Money. I know it sounds like boring MBA stuff, but 100%, I read it of my own volition and absolutely loved it. The tagline I give to all the people that I've recommended it to is, this is the finance book for people who don't like finance and don't want to talk about money. Because I think it puts money in such like an accessible and understandable way that like even someone who's, I have never thought about investing, I don't have an account, whatever it is, like it's, they're like, oh, I can do this. This makes it feel so achievable. The setup of the book is 20 article length chapters, and it's to the tune of 275 pages, like in the foreword, the authors, I don't think for a book to be good, it has to be long. And I'm like, amen on that. And I just think he has just such wise words in there. And he puts a lot of common concepts in ways that just are like so well articulated. They're like, of course, that 100% makes sense. And then, of course, like I mentioned earlier, Atomic Habits is fantastic. It basically underlies four principles of how to go after your goals in a really thoughtful way that will actually yield results. I read it at the beginning of 2024 and I've implemented a lot of the practices used in it. And I can definitely say, like, the results are real and like they can be applied in so many different aspects of your life. And they just feel very like you can feel the results and it doesn't feel like cheesy either. Like it has great examples.
Yeah, it's a great book. It goes over the science of habits, like how habits are formed, how you change them, like what normal people, like what people do in a normal sense to like not be able to achieve a habit and like how to overcome that. It's really good. Also, when you were talking about the money book, you described me to a T when you were talking about who it's perfect for. So I'm for sure going to get that book when I can. I need to read it.
Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel, like big fan of it.
Okay. 10 out of 10. I love that. I really need to like compile all of the songs that we talk about on here and the books and share them out with the audience. I think that would be, people would love that. Okay. So if you could teleport to anywhere in the world right now, where would it be?
Ooh, my next like international location I want to visit is like Greece or Italy. So probably maybe like the Mykonos would be really fun right now. I bet it's warmer than here right now. Plus then you could avoid the whole long international flight. Just quick there. That'd be
Greece is incredible. Highly recommend it. I went last summer, actually it was last fall, and it was a dream.
Where'd you go in Greece? I have to ask. I'm always like crowdsourcing information for travel.
Yeah, we went to Crete.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, it was, we stayed in an incredible resort. It was amazing. It was a sort of a wellness retreat. And so we did yoga and we did like life coaching and just had the most incredible group of women. And it was amazing. It was just truly like one of the best trips I've ever gone on.
Ooh, as someone who teaches Pilates and bar, I would be all over that yoga retreat on a beautiful Grecian island.
Yeah, it was amazing. What is the song that when it comes on, you immediately want to get up and dance, preferably on a table?
Oh, Dancing Queen, ABBA. 10 out of 10. If I'm no longer young and 17, but when that song comes on, it hits.
I am shocked nobody has said that one so far. That is like the quintessential dancing on a table song for real.
Honestly, one of my good friends is a huge ABBA fan. So now Man After Midnight, give me like Dancing Queen, Voulez-Vous, like I'm on the ABBA game right now.
You're all about it. I love that. Okay, so if you could instantly master any skill, what would it be?
Okay, you probably have never expected this, but kombucha brewing. I love kombucha. It's like my like post-grad hobby I want to pick up. And I just think there's a little bit of kind of trial and error and I'll get through it. But I think it'd just be fun to be able to just pour some tea in tomorrow and put the little SCOBY in and just have kombucha ready in the morning.
Jeez, Laura, you are like the coolest person I have ever talked to. I am just not on your level. This is amazing.
Oh, no. I just want to pick up some cool hobbies post-grad. Are you a kombucha fan, Shauna?
I do like kombucha. There's a couple. I like the Health Aid brand. That's probably one of my favorites. There's one that kind of tastes like wine, and that is like the best. Yeah, it's my favorite. Bubbly Rose, I think, is what it's called.
When I send you the Lucky Charms, I'll be sure to put up my like homebrewed kombucha as well.
Please do. Please do. Maybe I'll put the kombucha in the cereal bowl with, I don't know. We'll see.
It could be good. We'll see.
It could be a trend. We'll see. Okay. Name a mantra, quote, affirmation, or words that you live by.
Oh, you can do hard things. I tell it to myself whenever I'm like, I don't want to do something. I just need to quick get up out of bed or like quick go on a run. I told it to myself a couple days ago, right as I was getting out of my car. And I'm like, it is 13 degrees out. It is sleeting and it is windy. I don't want to go do this. But I said, I literally audibly out loud said, you could do hard things. And in my head, I went, yep. And so I opened the door, laced up my shoes and I was out on my way. So it applies in all sorts of circumstances.
I know. And once you push through that initial discomfort, then you're like, ugh, I'm so glad I did this for the most part, I would say.
For the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, French kiss or French fry?
My sweet mom is probably going to listen to this, so I'm going to go with French fry today. Also, if you're in Ames,
mom,
this is...
she really wants to say French kiss. We're just keeping it PG. It's fine. It's fine.
I have to say, though, I was recently at Cafe B in Ames, and they had some French fries with a garlic aioli, and that was, I don't want to say a life-changing experience, but perhaps a life-changing experience.
I think everybody who has said French fry over French kiss would agree with you on that, because there is just something about a good French fry.
There is. It can get you through the tough stuff.
That's right. Okay, so who is your celebrity crush?
Okay, this is probably on par with the kombucha response. All of my friends make fun of me for this. Are you familiar with Top Gun 1986?
Yes, original of course. One? The original, so, yes.
3-year-old Tom Cruise is like my celebrity crush.
Or Tom Cruise, yes. Risky Business.
Oh, yeah. The flight suit, the aviators. He was cute. That was probably mine.
Yeah, he was cute. He was cute in the remake, too. The young guys were really cute as well, but you're like, God, Tom Cruise, do you age ever? What is your secret?
It's good skincare. It has to be.
Yeah, it has to be. Oh, Tom Cruise. That's a good one. We haven't heard that one yet. So you're the first to name him. We've had Bradley Cooper a couple times. Mm. Leo, which is an obvious one. Brad Pitt from the 90s. Mm. Yeah, those are all good responses.
Sean, I have to ask, who's yours?
Oh, God. Keith Morrison is one of mine, and he's the guy on Dateline. Not because I think he's physically attractive, per se. I was just telling a friend about this. I love how he, like, interviews people. I'm such a nerd. I love how he interviews people, and he just asks fascinating questions. And I'm like, God, I love him. If I was going on physically, God, there's so many. I would say... right now, my crush is Joey from The Bachelor, because that guy was a dreamboat. Oh,
I'm a huge Bachelor fan. We could have spent the whole time. But Joey from The Bachelor, such a kind human being. Very good looking, but such a kind heart. Incredibly.
I know.
He went so unscathed through the whole season. Like, all the girls who he, like, ended up, like, not picking, like, at the women tell-all, were like, thank you. Like, never has any girl been, like, dumped and been like, thank you, like, for the experience, for making me feel so loved and cared for. Like, incredibly good human being.
Just the best. His emotional intelligence was unreal, especially, again, he's 28. There is science that guys don't develop their prefrontal cortex until, I think, 29 or 30. And rightfully, they're a lot of times not at that maturity level. But man, he was so good. And the fact that he's physically handsome and hot was, like, down on the list of why he's so amazing. Mm-hmm. I don't watch The Bachelor every season, but everybody was talking about him. And I'm like, I've got to see what everybody's, like, talking about. And then I was like, I'm in love with him. He is just a gem. What a dreamboat. My gosh.
Yeah, and definitely, like, the kind words he always had to say about all the women, and just, like, the utmost levels of, like, respect and care for their hearts, and just incredible. Like, I was, like, really impressed. And like you said, emotional intelligence, very high.
He was so sincere and genuine. And therefore, I was telling a friend this, I'm like, I really do feel like, it sounds silly sometimes when people are like, oh, the... like, you think that the couple at the end will make it. But I think because he was so genuine in his, I really am looking for my person. Therefore, I felt like his relationships were so much more genuine. Like, they felt to me so much more real. And I do feel like if there's any couple that's going to make it and get married and have this be their love story, I really feel like it's going to be him and Kelsey.
Yeah, I've definitely thought some relationships before in The Bachelor had legs to make it, but none like this. This one was is something for the books.
I know. So good. So good. Okay, so if you could do anything right in this moment that would make you feel free, what would you do?
That's tough. Probably tell people like exactly what I want, not beat around the bush or tell people exactly what I'm feeling. Just really, just be really authentic and maybe a little less overthinking.
That is a really good answer. Most of the time it's like, where would they go? Who would they be around? But yours is very intellectual. I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So the last question I ask everybody who comes on the show, what does French kissing life mean to you?
I think French kissing life is having the courage to go after exactly what you want and be exactly who you want to be.
So good. I think that you are demonstrating that to a T. And I'm so excited to see where you go. And just next time we'll have to catch up shorter than 10 years in between so I can hear about how everything's going. And you're going to send me cereal boxes.
Oh, and the kombucha. Just get ready for them.
And the kombucha. Perfect. Perfect. Laura, thank you so much for coming on French Kissing Life with me. It's been such a treat to have this conversation with you. And I know that there's going to be so many takeaways that people can get who are listening. Appreciate you taking time out of such a busy schedule to come on and chat with me and catch up.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Shauna. And also thank you for hosting this podcast and giving a voice to some really cool people's stories. Like, I've definitely listened to your other pods and I've really enjoyed like all the cool things I've learned from them. So thank you.
Yay. I'm so glad to hear it. We'll see you next time, everybody. From not attaching ourselves to an outcome, to getting comfortable with the uncomfortable, to the best way to achieve hard goals, Laura and I talked about it all. I think the best, most applicable advice Laura gave is about how to take a large goal that if you look at in its totality, you would perceive it to be a really hard thing to achieve. But by chunking it down into small, doable steps, which is something I preach on this show often, you can achieve just about anything. Or in Laura's words, you can do hard things. So with that wonderful reminder, today's Kindness in Action segment, here are some steps you can take to explore this concept, whether you have 5 minutes to spare or 50. If you have 5 minutes, I am suggesting an article from the Scientific American called The Secret to Accomplishing Big Goals Lies in Breaking Them into Flexible Bite-Sized Chunks. If you have a little more than 50 minutes, I'm offering a Goals Toolkit video from the Huberman Lab podcast, which does an excellent job of explaining the science behind goals and how to set yourself up to actually achieve them. And then if you want to connect with Laura and cheer her on as she starts her journey as a chemical engineer and cereal box expert, I'll share her information in the show notes. Thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of French Kissing Life. We will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the French Kissing Life podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. If you're enjoying the show, shower us with a 5-star rating and hit that subscribe button to make sure you never miss a future episode. And if you would be so kind and give the show a review, I'll sweeten the deal for you. Since I live for good conversation, I want to hear from you. Share your favorite takeaways, an aha moment you had, or a fun emoji that represents this week's show, along with your Instagram handle or email address, and you'll be entered to win this month's giveaway. The French Kissing Life movement is gaining momentum, and your ratings and reviews play a pivotal role in propelling the show to new heights. Until next week, mwah!